You know, for y'all to come out, it means a lot. Not just to me, but I know what the Lord thinks. Because I had thoughts, I'll be honest with you, how cold it was. And I said, you know what? Should I just send out a thing? And as soon as I went there, I felt like I got a big scuff. And I said, okay, no. So, like I say, Christmas, it's Christmas Eve, tomorrow's Christmas. That means it's hours away. So, if you're not ready, guess what? It's still coming. But Christmas comes with expectation, anticipation of things that are happening, and all kinds of excitement. But is it the excitement and the anticipation for celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ? We have to watch so we don't get caught up into the world so much. And that's why when you're here, you're honoring Him. And believe me, He looks at that and you gain favor in the midst of it. Now, I know there's a lot of people that were required today to have to work. And there's others that were working, working at home. And a lot of them were out doing their last minute gift and food item shopping today. And you know what? If you went out, they weren't crowded because there weren't a lot of people out. But yeah, so there was a lot of us that were working today. And, you know, I can remember when my mom, when I grew up, she would always, Christmas, when she got up for Christmas Eve morning, you know, she was always up before us. I don't know, parents are always up before the kids, but she was there working all day, and she worked all day. Come the end of the day, whether she was ready or not, she was done with what had to happen for Christmas, because Dad said, we're going out as a family. Dad, Mom, right? My brothers, my spoiled, pampered little sister, Shirley Ann. I won't mention her name that she's sitting here tonight. But yeah, pampered, okay. But you get my drift. Well, anyhow, we were going out. And we weren't going to church. We were going to go from house to house, okay, and going to visit family, friends, everywhere. It was that we had all these, we had to make a stop. And then we would go home. And as kids, we were so anxious. We went to each one of them, but it was like, can we get home? We need to get home. I don't know, have you ever been there? By the time we would get home, you know, get in the house, we're ready for Christmas. But no. And there's not a present to be found anywhere in the house. So we went, we do our best, and finally they get us to all where we fall asleep. And next thing you know, we were up way too early for them. You know, can you just wait? Go back to bed? No. We were wanting to rip into what we saw. Because we went out and we looked. I don't know where them presents come from, but as the years come out, we found out where they were going. They got to the point where they had to hide them in the neighbor's house, you know, my Aunt Shirley's. And then she would, you know, they would carry them over there to make sure that we didn't see them. I remember the first year that I got actually involved where there was no more Santa Claus. Yeah, I was a little taken with that. But I was allowed to go over and help wrap presents. I got to see the behind the scenes. I guess that made up for it. That was pretty cool. You know? But yeah, growing up with a lot of interesting things in my house. You know? A lot of great times. You know? I can look back and say, well, this, you know what? No. We had a great life. We had a great life. My parents did for us with all they could. And that put something, so when my kids came along, I wanted to do everything I could for them. And they're doing the same thing for their kids. And they just keep taking it up a step, taking it up another step. Yeah. Yeah. And it's hard when your granddaughter passed her driver's test on the 23rd, and now she's a full-fledged driver. On a cold, snowy morning, she went there, and they said, "You're here to take your test?" She says, "Yes, I am." They looked at her dad and said, "Who drove down?" They said, "She did." He said, "Okay." Went up, come back in. He said, "She did excellently. She's the only one I know that learned how to, you know how she parallel parks? She knows how to control those mirrors and get them to poke all the way down. And she used them mirrors. She watched that curb and she said, they said, "Could you do that a second time?" And she said, "Sure." But yeah, so they grow up quick. That's why tomorrow morning I want you to enjoy that first Christmas, that you're really going to experience it. Hallelujah. But now when we get back to the Christmas that we're talking about now, that I want you to reflect on. You know, you figure on Christmas Eve, Mary and Joseph, for their first Christmas Eve, they were spent traveling from Galilee to Bethlehem. And not to visit friends and family, but because Caesar Augustus made a decree that all the world should be registered. That was going to take a census for the purpose of taxing people and finding who was available for military service. You know, there was a draft back then too. But so they had to go back to where they were born, okay, where their family originated from. And, you know, they had to because, see, there was no internet service. You couldn't do it online like you can do everything online nowadays. Am I right? Leanne even renewed her driver's license online. I don't know how you do that, but that girl. Okay. Now, so they're headed to Bethlehem. So you can open up to, I said all that to go to Luke, and we're going to take off on chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 here. And this is the New King James. "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, every one to his own town. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child." This trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem took about a week, okay? Now, if the current hypothesis is lining up with the biblical scholars that they stand up and they've made this all come to play, they said, if they would walk 2.5 mile per hour, 8 hours a day, they could cover it in probably 4, maybe 5 days. So it wasn't an overnight. That was a long trip for them. And to boot, she was 9 months pregnant. She was 9 months pregnant. And she was walking and riding a donkey. All I got to say is, wow for that lady. Tell one of you ladies when you're pregnant you're going to ride a donkey. Oh, look, I got Amber's back here going like this. And I look at them. I was looking at the expression on Sam's face. Oh, that ain't happening. But that was, I said, wow, she did that. Now, if you look down to verse 6, because you can see, you know, but do you think that maybe the walking and ride might have pushed that delivery along a little bit? Well, it says in verse 6, "So it was that while they were there, the days were complete for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." Now, remember that. Firstborn, wrapped him in swaddling cloths. Cloths, not clothing. They didn't have preemie outfits. And they laid him in a manger. Okay? So there was no room available for them when they arrived at Bethlehem. The only accommodations available to them were where the animals stayed. And back then, it was in caves, not in the hillsides. You all think that was a nice barn with flitting doors and it was going to be warm in there. No. No, it was not. It was a place that they would have food stored in a manger for them, for the animals. Now, a manger was a wooden framed feeding trough. It was a box that holds hay for animals to feed from. That was Jesus' first crib. See, Mary had to make do because she wouldn't have wanted her infant son to be laid out on no cold concrete floor. I'm sorry, concrete stone floor. I didn't have concrete back then. Of course, if Gary was here, they might have. So the manger, it was available, and it proved to be convenient for what she needed. It was full of soft hay. Now, I've slept on hay. Hay ain't soft. I don't know where they got that from. I went to Mahaffey Camp. I know what that was like when you stuffed your own mattress with that. That stuff's really rough. Well, anyhow, there was the hay in the manger, and it was off the ground, and it had sides on it, tall enough that the baby wasn't going to come out. And I wanted to bring one from downstairs. Can you imagine? This thing is a wooden thing. It's about this big, okay, and it's made sort of like this in a V, okay, and it's full of straw. That's the manger. What you think is a manger ain't a manger. That's a manger. That was Jesus' crib that night. Got a picture of what, you think it was, you know, them birthing rooms and what they do nowadays? Wow. Well, anyhow, let's continue. Okay. Verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, suddenly an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. That means they were terrified. I won't say they did something in their pants, but probably, you know. There's something that happens to you when you're frightened. Verse 10, then the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Now, you know, get your mind, angels. These mighty warring angels, they're awesome looking. They ain't your run-of-the-mill what you see as angels. Them's angels, man, I'm telling you. Whew. You got to get the picture of what that is. Now you see, so when they saw this angel, and is he not huge? And he's going to announce to them, they're looking at that man. Mm-mm. That's why angels always have to seem to say, do not be afraid. Gabriel, you got to admit, he's a big angel, is he not? Well, let me tell you, in Luke chapter 1, verses 11 through 13, this is where Zacharias, the angel, Gabriel goes to him, and he sees him while he's in there doing his shift, taking care of the incense there. Okay, it was his job to do it. All different priests had different jobs to do, and you better do only your job. You didn't do anybody else's. God was a God of order, you see. In his house, you do things in order. All right. But anyhow, he's goes in, and he's going up to where he's supposed to take care of the altar of incense. And standing on the right side, now no other priests are supposed to be in where he's at, and he's lighting this incense. But on the right side of the altar is the angel standing there. Sort of would take you like, whoa, where'd you come from? You know? And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid. Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. We're talking about John the Baptist here, right? Now you got to understand, they were old. It said they were old, and one verse one says they were advanced. I'm just telling you, ladies. Age has nothing to do with it. Yeah, I know, but simply believe. But then you got in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. Same angel, Gabriel. Okay, 6 months now, Elizabeth has been pregnant, which is related to Mary. Mary doesn't know she's pregnant because for 5 months she hid this from everyone. Were the long things, you know, nobody could tell back then. But in the 6th month of her pregnancy, the angel Gabriel goes and he is told by God to go visit Mary. He says, she's a girl down here in Galilee. It's right there in Nazareth. You know what I'm talking about. Gabriel said, yes, sir, I hear you. He says, now she's a virgin, but she's betrothed to a man named Joseph. Okay? He's of the house of David. See, you got to do this according to what God has preset in motion. The virgin's name, again, was Mary. And having come, the angel said to her, now she gets taken by surprise. Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered, what manner of greeting is this? Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. For you have found favor with God. But you know, the angels always have to say, do not be afraid. Angels are there with you and you don't even know it sometimes. Verse 10, Luke chapter 2. Then the angel said to the shepherds, remember, he come down, he's talking to the shepherds. Shepherds, do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. Hear that? And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Let me point out again. It says, the hosts, those angels, there's a whole multitude of them. What are they? They're God's mighty army angels. They're no wimps, I'm telling you. And they're probably all a bunch of tenors and baritones, if I know them. See, true warriors know how to worship and praise God. Okay? See, they're not ashamed. Neither should we. Because we are warriors for the Lord. Amen. The shepherds here are doing their thing. They're minding their own business when they receive that herald's call. Ready? Come on with me. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Come on. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the sky. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn sing. Now you know why I don't sing. But see, I need help. But you know, I used to love to do this Christmas time. We used to do as kids. I don't know if you ever did it. We would go out choiring. Choir, am I saying it? Yeah. But that was caroling. There we go. Thank you. We'd go out caroling. And I loved that. We'd go to different people's homes. We all had our books and we sang. We didn't have no band. We didn't have no accompaniment tracks. But we would do that. And the people would, people were just blessed. We got cookies. We got drinks. We would go house to house to house. It was a great time. So yeah, I loved caroling. Even though every time when I used to sing, Teresa used to go, shh, shh, shh. Make a joyful noise, my sister. You did not make, you made a beautiful sound tonight. I'm just telling you it was. And what did he say? And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. A baby lying in a manger where animals were kept nearby, wrapped in swaddling cloths. He entered the world as a lowly babe, and though he is the mighty God, El Gabor, he lived his life on earth in gentleness before all people. The shepherds that night were near Bethlehem at Migdal Eder, called the watchtower of the flock. This would fulfill both the prophecies of Micah 4:8 and Micah 5:2. 4:8 says, "As for you, O watchtower of the flock, the strong place of the people of Zion, the power you had to rule will come to you again." And in Micah 5:2, it says, "Bethlehem, you are little too, but among the family groups of Judah. But for you, one will come who will rule for me in Israel." His coming was planned a long ago, from the very beginning. See, it was at that lower floor at the watchtower of Migdal Eder that the birthing of the Passover lambs would take place. Selected ewes that were about to give birth would be brought there. After the birth of the lamb, the shepherds would wrap the lambs in cloth and lay them in the manger lined with soft hay to prevent them from hurting themselves for Passover. They were Passover lambs, and they must be unblemished, unbruised, and unbroken in bone. The miracle sign for these shepherds would be a baby boy lying where the Passover lamb should be, in a manger wrapped in strips of cloth. It was at the cradle of Jesus that the kingdom from ancient times arrived on earth. As in Micah 5:2, it said, "He is from the beginning," meaning he pre-existed. What's John 1:1 say? "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The angel announces to them, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be to all people." Good news of great joy. Good news for all people. Good news, a Savior is born. Our great joy comes from the good news. And the good news brings the great joy. So we sing that again. "Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and earth and sing, and heaven and earth sing, and heaven, and nature sing." Amen. Verse 14 again, but then the NIV, it says, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." See, God has found favor on us. Favor here is the Greek word chaos, which also means grace. And what is the grace of God? Unmerited favor. And Jesus came to the world full of grace. What did he come to the world full of?
Grace.
And truth. And truth. The good news for all people. The simple shepherds could not have known the magnitude of that moment, the domino effect all the way into eternity. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Now, something happened to those shepherds at that very moment. There arose in them such a stirring in their spirits that they needed to go check this out. They weren't waiting. They were going now. Pick up in the Message Bible here, verse 15. As the angel choir withdrew into heaven, the shepherds talked it over. Let's get over to Bethlehem as fast as we can and see for ourselves what God has revealed to us. They left running and found Mary and Joseph and a baby lying in the manger. Seeing was believing. They told everyone they met what the angel had said about this child. All who heard the shepherds were impressed. Mary kept all these things to herself, holding them dear deep within herself. Now, can you just see her picking up baby Jesus after the shepherds spoke and holding him and looking into his eyes? Mary was like any other mother who's sit there and held that little one and counted those tiny fingers and tiny toes and just rocked him to sleep. But Mary, she was no ordinary mother. And her son was no ordinary child. See, there in that cave, every breath, every touch, and every sound was precious to her. Mary treasured all these things which were said and pondered them in her heart. The words that were spoken and the reality of the birth of her child, she knew what he was destined to do for mankind. How long could she have him as her own? As she fixed her eyes upon the child, she might have whispered this prayer. Lord, give me this night to just be his mother. Give him this moment to just be my child. He has the rest of his life to be Savior, but so little time to simply be mine. So give me, please give me this night. See, for 9 months, it had seemed that he was hers all alone. Thinking back to the day when she first learned that she would have a baby, Mary surrendered her heart and her will, and this night she surrendered her child. Verse 20, the shepherds returned and let loose, glorifying and praising God for everything they had heard and seen. It turned out exactly the way they'd been told. Wow. They were glorifying and just praising God, and so should we. Especially for all these things which we're reading about in his birth. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Luke 1:31, and behold, Gabriel talking to her, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. That's the way you get a name. The name above all names. God said, you name my son Jesus. For he is Jesus the Christ child. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses was completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Did you hear that, ladies? Okay. To offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Luke is showing us that Joseph and Mary were faithful. Jesus was God's son, but still they carried out the ceremonies according to God's law. Jesus was not above the law. No. Instead, he fulfilled the law. He fulfilled the law, and he fulfilled it perfectly. In Jerusalem at that time, there was a man of advanced age, Simeon by name, a good man, a man who lived in the prayerful expectancy of help for Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. They didn't actually, the Holy Spirit couldn't live in them. God would use his Spirit to move into people of the old times. You and I can receive the Spirit because of what Jesus Christ did. And that's why once you get born again, he lives in you. God's Spirit lives in you. Amen. As Mary and Joseph are at the temple, they met an old man whose name was Simeon. He was righteous and devout, and he was eagerly awaiting for the Messiah to come rescue Israel. He was praying with expectancy for the Savior. See, that's one thing that I think a lot of us and all Christians have forgotten. One thing, and you missed it right here, is the eagerness. The eagerness of waiting is what Luke's trying to bring out. Simeon was a man who was praying, praying with expectancy, praying to see the Savior. When you pray for whatever you're praying for, pray with expectancy. That means you're going to believe it. It's going to happen. And then don't get off of that what you've prayed for. Don't take a thought negative towards it. Don't counteract it with any words you say. You stay with the expectancy and you won't be disappointed. Amen? Tyler? Ted? It's how you pray with expectancy. What we don't always understand, though, in that first Christmas is that there were thousands, and I think there were thousands upon thousands that were there that were believing. And it was what? It was for thousands of years. That's what they were believing for. Generations longed to see those words fulfilled. There were many Jews who could not wait to lay their eyes upon this child. Simeon was one of them. And just can you imagine his excitement all those years praying, waiting? In verse 26, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and he blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. In his excitement, he praised God, saying, Lord, now let me die and let me die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. Verse 33, Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, "This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul." They were amazed because Simeon, he said Jesus was a gift from God. And he recognized Jesus as the Messiah. Simeon said Jesus would be a light to the entire world. And he is a light. And his light still shines today. And how does his light shine? Through each and every one of us. We must let our light shine. We must let people know, as it said in Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7, "For unto us a son is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." Amen. So, and I'm looking and I'm seeing everybody here, I know, has already asked Jesus into their lives. Because I know each and every one of you personally. And this would be the time that I would give the opportunity to let Jesus become your Lord and Savior. And I know each one of you have. But if you have drawn away from him, now is the time to draw even closer. To just open up your heart, as the song says, and make room for Jesus. And let the Holy Spirit that's in you speak to you this night. And so that's why we're here tonight, gathered together to celebrate his birth and to take communion. And that's what we're going to do right now. Amen. Thank you. Well done, gentlemen.